Understand the hour you are in. You are in an hour of breakthrough. The Spirit of God says that which has restrained you is about to be dismantled. You are going to overcome. You are going to plow ahead. And the kingdom of God will be near and made manifest in your life. In your life. When the Spirit of God told me what He wanted me to preach today, I said, well, of course, that makes sense. Many of you have been in the fire. And the Word of God says that we are to cry out for understanding, and God has inexhaustible understanding. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. That word hearing in Greek means understanding. So faith comes by understanding, by comprehending the Word. So He has an hour of breakthrough for you to understand the Word in your life that is trying and testing you. Because it's the Word that tries us. Let's start in Psalm 105 to get understanding. Because faith comes by understanding the Word. So we need a lot of Word to understand. Hallelujah. So we can have increased faith. Increased faith. Psalm 105, let's start at verse 16. Moreover, He called for a famine upon the land of Egypt. He cut off every source of bread. He sent a man before them. Say before. Before them. Because you're going to understand the purpose of the word. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant. His feet, they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron, and his soul entered the iron until, say until his word to his cruel brothers came true. Hallelujah. Prophecy fulfilled. Came true until the word of the Lord tried and tested him. So what does it look like? We're going to get understanding on how it looks like with the Word of God trying and testing us. That word test here is sarap, and it means to fuse, to refine as a goldsmith, to melt, to purge, to try, to bring forth revelation of the purity of that Word. So what does it look like? It looks like captivity. It looks like captivity. Because you have to understand where you are. Your captivity is not a curse, but an opportunity provided to you to let the Word come up and be birthed out and come in to glorify the Father. We have to understand God's logic. His ways are above our ways, but He's still logical. And if we cry out for understanding, for knowledge and wisdom, He will show us His ways. Moses knew God's way. And this is His way of trying and testing the Word. And the Lord of God said, many of you are here today in the midst of this fire, and you need exhortation and encouragement to finish the race well. You are almost to the point of breakthrough. The Word Messiah came to break through. The Word in you, deposited in you, is coming forth now as refined as gold, and it is going to cause you to break through. So let's see how it looks as we get revelation. We see revelation about this of the testing of the Word in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, because remember, faith comes by understanding what? The Word. So we need some more understanding, God. Thank You, Jesus. Because how much faith do you want? I want a lot of faith. Hallelujah. How much faith do you want? Hallelujah. 1 Peter verse 6. 1 Peter 1 verse 6. You should, glory to God, y'all are going to be the happiest people here today. You should be exceedingly glad, not just glad, but exceedingly glad on this account. Though now, for a little while, you may be distressed. Hallelujah. You may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. This proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed Word, the Anointed One, is revealed. Hallelujah! So we should be exceedingly glad. How many of us are going through trials and tribulations? Woo! Hallelujah! We should be so happy, and people coming up to us, asking us what's going on. We're going through a trial. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! How many people do we see run up to the altar and going, I need this prayer. I'm going to run up to the altar and go, glory to God, I'm going through a trial. Pray for me. Hallelujah. I got this going on. Would it not be appropriate, right? Because it's the testing of your faith. God's going to give you a revelation of His logic about what faith is. Faith is pistis. It means persuasion. It means conviction. But whose persuasion is it? Is it God's? No, He's already done it. He's already persuaded. It is our persuasion. See, when Jesus healed people, when He did signs and wonders, He didn't say, be it unto you according to my faith, because He already was faith. He said, be it unto you according to whose faith? Your faith, right? Your faith. So whose faith needs to be bumped up? Levels of glory. Hallelujah. It is your faith. And it comes from the Word already in you. Say, in me. Trying and testing you. It will try everything that would war against God's Word. It will expose it in our soul, and it will uproot it in order that we would come forth purified like gold. So faith is commitment. Commitment. I am means many things. One of the things it means in Hebrew is commitment. Be it unto you according to your commitment to the Word. How committed are you to the Word? Because you're going to see that the sifting you go through is to try you, to test whether or not you'll turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But He already knows the end from the beginning, and you've already been qualified for the test. So He's bringing you to an increased intensity of fire for the testing and purification of His Word. Mark 4. Faith comes by understanding the Word. So we're going to get some more Word because we want more understanding. Do we need more commitment? Yes. So faith comes by hearing the Word. So let's get some more commitment, more faith. Mark 4, verse 17. Jesus is now explaining His Word to the disciples of the parable about the seeds that were sown. So we're going to see in verse 17 about the parable of the seeds that were sown. Verse 17 of Mark 4. And they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. What does Scripture say in 1 Peter 1? It says that we suffer trials for how long? A little while. So here it says in Scripture, and they have no real root in themselves, and they endure for a little while, then, say then.
Amen.
Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the Word, they immediately are offended and become displeased, indignant, resentful, and stumble and fall away. Now we look at the hundredfold as we see verse 20. And those sown on good and well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit, some 30 as much, some sown as 60 times as much, and some 100-fold. Did they miss the trial? No. They go through the same testing and the trying of faith of the word. But God is emphasizing in Mark 4, verse 17. He says there's a group of people. If they would but hold on but a little while longer, they're about to break through because the trial is going to reveal the anointed word of Christ Jesus within them. See, trouble's going to come and persecution's going to come on behalf of the Word. Now, I don't know how your sifting looks like, but I know how my sifting looked like and had people understand I was going through a sifting and had lifted me up instead of cursing me, I would have gotten a second wind to push forward because I had no understanding. Neither did they, or they would be cheering me up. Glory to God. She's being sifted. Hallelujah. We need some praise shouters for those being sifted. Just have a praise line. Glory to God, you're being sifted. Keep on, you're going to get through. Hallelujah, you're being sifted. Hallelujah. Because see, the word has to be tried and tested. We understand this in Isaiah 4. Faith comes by understanding the word. When you understand that you've been set up to get a passing score by Christ Jesus, you're going to look at your trial and rejoice. Isaiah 4, verse 2. In that day, say that day. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful, glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be excellent. John 15:2 says that He prunes us so that we bear what? More excellent fruit. So you're seeing the other side of the pruning, if you but hold on. More excellent and lovely to those of Israel who have escaped. And he who is left in Zion and remains. Say remain. Remain in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Everyone who's recorded for life in Jerusalem and for eternal life. After the Lord has washed away the moral filth of the daughters of Zion, pride, vanity, haughtiness, and has purged the bloodstains of Jerusalem from the midst of it by the spirit and blast of judgment and the spirit and blast of burning and sifting. And the Lord will create over the whole site, over every dwelling place of Mount Zion, over her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory shall be a canopy, a defense of divine love and protection. And there shall be a pavilion for shade in the daytime from the heat and for a place of refuge and shelter from the storm and rain.
Thank you,
so here we're getting a revelation, understanding on how it looks like in our lives when the Word of God is tried and tested. See, when I was 6 years old, I lived across the street from a Baptist church. God woke me up. He told me to get dressed, and I would go across that street, and He would tell me to sit on the third pew from the pastor on the inside to where at least I could see. And as I sat there, I felt the glory of God come upon that pastor. And I'm telling you, I had a relationship with God that was amazing. I was on fire for God. I was holy, dedicated, consecrated. And I would shine the light of Christ Jesus at my school until something started happening in Robin. See, I didn't know the blood stain on my wall. I didn't know that there was a generational curse in my family lineage that had gone down three generations of alcoholism. I didn't know what was in my own soul, but God did. But when I was young, at 6 years old, He put His Word in me. He deposited that seed of that Word that was in my soul, which was the soil for His preparation. And when I went through that shaking, I started getting into rebellion, and I got addicted to alcoholism. I went through a place where I thought I was delivered, but I was not delivered. I was just delaying the process. Because after I had been married to a doctor and had put him through medical school and residency, he then left me when he became a full-fledged doctor and got through with residency with 1 and 6 year old boys. And I was just starting my master's degree in social work. I was going to church every single time the church doors were open. As a mother that was taking her children by myself. So His Word was in me. But after this shaking and the bloodstain and the fiery trial of going through that shaking and the fire, the bloodstain of the generational curses of alcoholism started coming outside of my walls and started coming out for everybody to see. See, they didn't know it was bloodstains. They called it rebellion. They didn't know that Word of God already deposited in me said, alcoholism, you're not staying in this vessel. You're about to come up, be judged, torn down, destroyed, and uprooted out of this holy vessel created for God's glory. See, it is a process. If we have understanding of the process, instead of having a quit, God's love in us gets us to commit. It gets us to go further than we can ever go, because there's times in our flesh we will feel like quitting, and glory to God, He wants you to get there so God's Holy Spirit can come in you and push you past your quit. So I got addicted to alcoholism. I was drinking 12 plus beers in a day. My body was oozing of alcohol that was bleaching my sheets. I finally got white sheets, because my sheets would get bleached all the time. But on Resurrection Sunday of 2002, God told me to stand up where? In the church, where I needed to be. And the power of Holy Spirit came down, because Robin's little while was about over, and Holy Spirit came down upon me and broke that yoke and destroyed it. See, God's Word is shut up in your bones like fire. And if you hold on for a little while and let the purging and let the cleansing and the purification and sifting come, you will see the anointed Word swell up and break out like the new day sun. How many of y'all want breakthrough? You're about to get it today. You're about to get it today. Because see, to everybody else, it looked like I was messed up, broke, busted, and disgusted. I wanted to say, See, you don't understand the bloodstains of Jerusalem. You don't know the curses that have passed down to me for three generations. You don't know. I figured out I can do it. It's not by my power. It's not by my mind. But it is by His Spirit that I'll get delivered. It is by Holy Spirit that we are delivered. So people give up. because they look at themselves and they look at their work and they figured out they're messed up and they cannot come near God. But that's the time you need to run to the altar because you're about to be delivered. See, when women call me and say, oh, my husband's doing this, I go, glory to God, hallelujah. But look, he's doing this. I say, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And I said, don't you know the word is in your husband? It's trying him and testing him. And the fact that the behavior has increased means he's about to get delivered. But you hold on for a little while. Because see, before the famine, say before. Before the famine, he sent a man, a vessel, that had the word shut up in them, that had a commitment, that loved God so much that he already pre-qualified them for the test, knowing that they would not be disloyal to him, knowing that no matter what they went through, one day they would appropriate the fullness of mercy, and that mercy would remove the bloodstains on their walls, and they would walk in grace and power. Grace and power. So what does a sifting look like? What does a spirit of burning look like? It tells us actually in Deuteronomy 4, 28. Deuteronomy 4, 28. Deuteronomy 4:20. But the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace of Egypt to be him a people of his own possession for this day. Isaiah 48:10. Because we need to understand the fire, the trying, the testing, to know that you're about to the point of breakthrough.
Bring it on. Come on.
Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you. But not as silver. I have tried and chosen you in the furnace of affliction. So the fire looks like affliction. It looks like trouble. Because remember what he said in the parable. That they hang on for a little while until the word brings forth persecution or trouble. And then they leave offended. How many disciples did Jesus start off with? A lot. He offended them when he said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And people did not understand he was referring to Isaiah and how it infers that Messiah has come to lay down the blood of his own blood to be an atonement. So what happened? Because of what? The word, many were offended and they left him. Amen. How many people have left Jesus because the word in them offended them? They didn't have any roots of commitment to hang on no matter what their circumstances, no matter what they looked like. They could not hang on. But if you have the word in you and you stay committed to the word, no matter what you look like, what your family looks like, what your circumstances look like, if you hang on, that anointed word will come forth in you. It says that it purges by the spirit of judgment. Let's just deal with that first. All judgment, according to Scripture, has been given over to Jesus by the Father. So when the word is in your soul, it brings immediate judgment on the lie of the enemy. So it brings a tearing, an uprooting, a tearing down and destroying. So Holy Spirit comes in with the breath of God to give us the grace to endure the judgment of the Word. But then we have the purging of the bloodstains by the Spirit of burning and sifting. So what it looks like when you're in the fire, it looks like you're being sifted, and you might look worse going in before you come out. If people have understanding, they're about to get delivered, but the bloodstains are coming up from the walls, and the power of God's anointed word is about to destroy the yoke, they would press forth and be more committed. Let's see this as we look at Luke 22. Because remember, the vessel has to be refined. Romans 9:23 says that God created vessels of mercy for His glory. How many of y'all want to be a vessel created for His glory? Amen. We see in Isaiah 4 that after, the scripture says after the purging, we'll go there in a minute, but after the purging, God will create over the whole site a canopy of glory, of divine love, of a cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. But it comes after the purging, after the sifting, so you have to endure. God's given you this message. He said many of you need endurance. You need hope. You need to know that you're closer to the breakthrough and hang on and be committed to that word. Amen. So let's look at Luke 22. Verse 31. Simon, Simon. Listen, Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up unto him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. But I've prayed especially for you, Peter, that on your own faith may not fail. Stay committed, Peter, even when you look messed up. May not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. See, he sent a man before the famine. He sent a man to be tested and tried by the word before the famine, so when the famine came, God's glory would fall on that anointed vessel that worked to provide healing for the nation. Our nation needs healing. See, God is sending His appointed vessels before the famine so that when the storm truly comes, God's glory is already established by His pillars in the church in order that His divine protection can rest upon His nation. Had there not been Joseph, there would not be Israel. Had there not been Esther, there would not be Israel. Had there not been Gideon, there would not be Israel. It only takes one person to rise up with the anointed word to save a whole nation. But your trials and your testings can look like you're messed up. Let's look at Peter here. Peter's bragging, "Oh, Jesus, I'm not going to leave you." Jesus says to him, "Simon, Satan has asked that you be given over to him so he can excessively, not a little bit, but excessively sift you like grain." It's called a measure of the trial of Job. See, Satan came to God and God said to him, "Where have you been?" And he says, go into and fro the earth. And God said, have you seen Job? Have you seen Job? And when God gave permission for the enemy to sift him to everyone else, it looked like Job was cursed and messed up, broken, busted, and disgusted. But they didn't know that God's word was in Job, and it was trying and testing him for a little while. And when he was restored, when the word was purified, tried, and tested, God gave him a double portion of blessing. God will restore all that the cankerworm and the locust have eaten, a double portion. So it looks like captivity, but we have to have understanding. See, we don't know our own soul. We don't know generational issues that need to be purged out of our soul that would war with the Word. So the Word comes in us and it starts exposing it to the light so it cannot be hidden in order to tear it down, uproot it, and destroy it. It tears down the bondage of the enemy. So to Joseph, he's sold as a servant. He's in captivity. He goes from the pit to Potiphar's to the dungeon. From worse to okay to worse. I would say worser, but there is no worser. To worse. So in his worst condition, say worse. In the natural. In his worst condition, it was the door of hope, of opportunity in the valley of Achor. The door of hope is in the valley of trouble if you but press in. See, God in Joel, it says that God stirs up the sons of Judah in their captivity to destroy the enemy. In their captivity. The book of Judges, Israel was being tormented in Judges 4. And he stirred up a Deborah. And he stirred up a Jael in order to destroy the enemy while they were in captivity. So here Joseph's soul goes into the iron, into the fetters. His soul entered it. His soul entered the bondage because the captivity was trying and testing, being exposed by the Word. See, when I was messed up and it looked like I was in a worse condition, people did not realize that my soul had entered captivity. And at that point, I realized I could not get myself out. But one. When God reached down, when I was an alcoholic, and he pulled my soul out of captivity, oh my, I know my deliverer, and I know where I came from. And I'm grateful for grace. But because of that, oh, I love him so much. Because Robin didn't deliver herself. So this is where Joseph is. He's in captivity. And in the midst of captivity, his soul entered bondage. But until, say until. That day, say that day. Because in Isaiah 4 says that day. That day, the branch, the word of God Almighty sprouted up out of that place. And it broke through and brought him up into the call that he was always established to be in. You don't realize you're closer to your breakthrough and the enemy's lying to you, telling you you're further away. And that's a lie from the enemy. It's not true. Because you have to understand, God's word is tried and tested in you. And this is where we see, let's end right here with Luke 22. We're going to end with one more scripture in Revelation. Luke 22. Now let's look at verse 27. For who is the greater? The one who reclines at the table, the master, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I'm in the midst as one who serves. And you are those who have remained throughout and persevered with me in my trials. How many of y'all want to remain with the Word? No matter what you go through, you're going to hold on, be more committed to the Word. Because we see in Isaiah 4, the Scripture says, those that remain shall be called holy. Holiness is infused into you by God's Holy Spirit. And it comes forth on the power of the Word inside of you. See, people didn't know I had a Resurrection Sunday of 2002. And on that day, the Word had been swelling up. It had been enlarging. And on that day, His Holy Spirit came upon me and made me holy. See, I remained when everything in the natural told me I needed to run from church. I said, no, church is where I need to be. See, I remained when everybody told me, look what's happened to you, and you're praising God, and you're messed up. Why don't you curse Him? And I said, no, you don't understand. I love Him. See, before I loved Him in a measure when I was on fire in school, and I was preaching about the Lord. But let me tell you, when He pulled my soul out of bondage, oh, I love Him more. I will not leave my Savior, the Word. I'm committed to it. See, you are in a trial right now that is testing your commitment. It doesn't matter how you look like. It matters about how the Word in you is about to break through and break down the attacks of the enemy. Let's end with Revelation 3. Zion means pillar. That those that remain in Zion shall be a pillar of God. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel messenger of the assembly church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of the Holy One, the true one, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one shall open. I know your records of work and what you are doing. See, I've set before you a door wide open, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but a little power, and yet you have kept my word and guarded my message and have not renounced or denied my name. Take note, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet and learn and acknowledge that I have loved you because you have guarded and kept my word of patient endurance. Have held fast to the lesson of my patience with expectant endurance that I give you. I also will keep you safe from the hour of trial and testing, which is coming upon the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may rob you and deprive you of your crown. He who overcomes is victorious. I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own. the Word says that He will cause those to people to fall down at their feet and acknowledge that God loves you. Let's go back to Isaiah 4 because you're going to get a revelation of verse 1. God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You don't have to speak. God's love and favor upon you is your great defense. He is the Lord of the battle. Isaiah 4, verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, provide our own apparel, only let us be called by your name, to take away our reproach of being unmarried. This is the same vision that we saw in Revelation, that on that day, people would come before God's people with the anointed word, and they would acknowledge God's word is in you. And here we see that it's the very same day, and the next group of people, it says that the Lord will be a branch coming out of you, and you will be washed of all filth. You will be purged of all bloodstains, and the glory of God will be your canopy. You are on the verge of breakthrough. You are that close to breakthrough. And Jesus tells you today, the door is open. Cross over, because breakthrough is here. The word has been tested. And He says, you are committed. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that by the power of Holy Spirit, by your might, you strengthen our inner man, God, in order that we would be strengthened, being rooted deeply, grounded securely in the love of Christ, so we will know a greater height, a depth, and a width of your love, God, not only by mere knowledge, but by experience. And in that love, God, we would see you do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever think or imagine, according to the operation of the power of your word by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.